Today we're continuing on in a series that we're going to be in for a few more weeks, talking about our hearts and how huge and important that is for each and every one of us. And last week we talked about examining, we've talked about our mind, we've talked about examining different parts and aspects of our heart. And today I want to talk to you about having an unclogged heart. How many know that's important? If you've been to your cardiologist recently, it's huge and important. One of the things that can clog our hearts is a lie, spiritually speaking. And lies started early in this book. If you've read the Bible or you're reading the Bible through, like many of us do, each year, or you're reading the New Testament through, perhaps you'll see it pop up. But it doesn't take long in your Bible before you see the very first lie, and the very first lie came to a couple, to Adam and Eve, by the serpent, by Satan, who told them a lie that many people believe, that what you have is not enough. You know, the enemy focused on what they did not have, not what they had, because what they had was about 99.9% of all the fruits and vegetables, everything that the world had to offer. But God had said, there's one tree that I want you to separate that one, and that one's mine. And of course, the enemy says, well, why is God holding out on you? You shouldn't have to give up anything. You should be able to just get anything you want. You should be able to have it all. And that's a lie that really feeds our culture. And so they began to focus on what they did not have instead of what they did have. And I think in our lives, that's kind of how it goes. More is always better, right? Anybody heard that lie recently? Anybody ever watched TV in the last week? Seen some ads? You know, more money, more toys, more shoes, more cars, better car, more watches, more muscles, more square feet, more travel, more hair. How many know after 40, men, you better be specific where you want that hair, right? What if the stuff you have is keeping you from the life you want? You ever thought about that? So I want us to focus here today on unclogged, because we know, again, I mentioned this earlier, that if you go to your cardiologist, they will be very interested in how much potentially of your heart might be clogged. And what are we going to do about it? What are the remedies? And so to remedy our spiritual hearts, which is what we're talking about in this series, how do you unclog your heart from this lie that the enemy started out with right at the very beginning, that you don't have enough? I think to unclog our heart, you have to say, I have enough. I do have enough. But here's the problem with saying that, is you don't believe it. Okay? You don't believe it. What you believe is, I don't really have enough. If I just had some more, then I would have enough. And so here's what I want us to do today. I want us to start this new year off with a new year prayer, all right? Bring that prayer up for me. Here's what we're going to pray today. Pray this with me. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. Well, let's say it again, because not everybody participated, all right? So we want 100% participation today. Pray it with me. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Give me more of what does matter, all right? Now what does that mean, to have less of what doesn't matter? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus kind of helps us here when he says this in verse 19, don't store up treasures here on earth. Anybody doing some cleaning lately? Where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal, store your treasures where? In heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your what? Your heart. We're talking about the heart. Jesus says that's where your heart will go also. So we have to get God's help to unclog our hearts. And Jesus said, a way to unclog your heart is you got to clean some stuff out. You got to watch that you don't store up things just here. Don't just accumulate things for here. And I think one of the reasons why Jesus was so tuned into this, because he had such an eternity mindset. Because, like, think about it. He was alive before he showed up. He said on at one occasion, he said, before Abraham was, I was. So he says, I was way back at the beginning. John said it like this. In the beginning, the Word was God. It was with God. It was God. The Word, Jesus, was in the very beginning of everything. And so when you have this eternal mindset and your lifespan is this much of it, then Jesus says, don't get caught up in that part. Don't just hoard and accumulate for now, because your life is so much more than this. How many are glad for that, right? But the problem is that we don't often believe that. And the problem with accumulating is we think the bigger our bank balance is, the more worthy we are. That our security then becomes in money instead of God. And that's what Jesus said. That's where our heart will go. And so we'll do things like, you know, we think, well, I need a new outfit. But really, that new outfit is to masquerade the fact that we're insecure, some of us. And we need somebody to say something to us. So if I get a new outfit, maybe somebody will compliment me, and then I can feel good about myself. So the outfit really isn't the issue. It's a deeper heart issue. Do you see that? And sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, I think what we need to do, we need to move. We need a newer house. We need to move. We need to move somewhere. And really what it is there's marriage struggles, but we're going to camouflage that by we'll move somewhere else and maybe we'll be happy on that street. Maybe that will bring some distraction to the situation that we're in. And so how do you do less? How do you get there? How in this year of 2025 do we say, you know, I'm just not going to get caught up in all that again. I do that naturally. I don't want to do that. How do I do that? Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us how in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, check this out. I like the New Living Translation. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. How many are trying to diet this year? Right? Some of you, you already blew it and you're not raising your hand, all right? So he says you got to do some weight loss. So it's the same principle that Jesus talked about. You got to strip off anything that could distract you from a heavenly mindset, from an eternal mindset. And he says in verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're going to come back to that. So we've got to strip off everything that hinders us. I don't know about you, but when we start taking Christmas down, it does something. Does it do that for you? Like, because I've got to go to the garage, I've got to go to the attic, I've got to go to places I don't normally spend, you know, a lot of time in. And then I'm like, what is in that box? We haven't used that in how long? You know, I think I need to get rid of that. I think, you know, we don't need this. And I'm supposed to be taken down to Christmas. Yeah, I'm supposed to be putting that away. But I find myself getting caught up in stripping down some things. Anybody like that? Yeah. Where you get focused on decluttering. And I'm just telling you, we do that in the natural. For you to have your best year in 2025, you need to take off some stuff. You need to get rid of the guilt, the shame, the bondage, all the junk, all the stuff of last year. And you need to say, no, I'm not carrying that into this year. I'm not going to bring that into this year. I'm going to have a different mindset from the world. I'm not going to have the stress that the world does. I'm not going to have all that pressure. I'm not going to have all that I'm going to get my heart right, and that's what it takes. And finances, by the way, that's huge. That's a huge part of this, because you get jacked up in your finances. How many know? Life isn't happy. It doesn't matter how many balloons they bring to your house or whatever, how many candles they light for your birthday or how big the cake or how nice or whatever. You get in financial bondage, and that's why FPU is so huge. We did that announcement before this message. I want to implore anyone who's struggling financially, get in FPU. It's coming right up. And you can sign up today. You need to show up. You need to commit yourself. Get free so you can live free this year. And listen, it's ridiculous to stay in that shape, in that situation, when there's help. Okay? There's help. And so spread the word. But hey, in our house, man, there's stuff. I mean, no, my dad used to say, when they moved into a new house that they built, and they had all these closets, and they moved from a house that didn't have all that many closets, and they thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with all this closet space? And he says, but it didn't take long. We figured out how to fill it all up. And that's the thing, we have stuff in our lives, and it's not just stuff. There's stuff, and some of us, that's our issue. But others of us, it's our schedule. Our schedule's cluttered. And we get frustrated and all, but it's because we tried to accumulate. We tried to do too much in our schedule. I find today, at this point in my life, I'm more about what I don't need to do. Anybody with me? I need a don't do list, because I tend to say yes to everything. And so what I'm learning at this stage in my life, I need to say no to some stuff so I can say yes to some better stuff. And for some of you, it might be, some of you just got free today. You just got 2 hours of your day free because TikTok's gone. Okay. It may be back by Monday, I don't know. So don't get too nervous or whatever, you know, like at your phone. But social media, our phones, different things, you know, it can tell you how many hours you're spending each day. You know, Netflix, whatever it is, you know, strip off. Here's what the scripture says. Strip off every weight that slows you down. And so you need to make sure you get rid of that doesn't matter. Less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. What does matter? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 says it like this. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to peanut M&Ms, that's right. Somebody say, he's preaching now. Yeah. Two handfuls are better than one, right? One handful, we're just getting started. But two handfuls, but that's not what the scripture says. Why does Solomon say one handful is better? Because when I have two handfuls, I can't receive anything else. I can't, you know, somebody come up here with a $100 bill. I can't get it. I can't hold it because I'm already too greedy with what I do have. And so what he says is, hey, that you can hang on to that, or you could be ready for more. You could be in a position to receive. And the other thing is when I was thinking about this, I'm worried about, two dropped, you know. I'm so focused on, I don't want to lose anything. And I'm focused on my stuff. I'm focused on, I don't want to lose anything. And I'm so focused on that, I don't even know what's going on around me. And the other thing is I have a hard time hugging somebody. I have a hard time praising the Lord. I have a hard time being able to be friendly with people when I have two handfuls, right? And so today, maybe what God's saying to some of us is, hey, just one handful's enough. Because I want you to be in position for what I want to pour through you, what I want to give to you in 2025. I want you to make room for more of what matters most in your life. What matters most. Otherwise, we're chasing, he says, and we're frustrated. So let's define what matters most. Okay, what matters most? I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, how do you know what matters most? And, you know, that could be subjective, you know, to what somebody says. And so I thought, how about this? What if you ask somebody who you know has 1 week to live? Say, well, that's kind of a morbid thought. Well, just go with me for a little bit. A person's got 1 week to live, and you said, hey, what matters most? I don't think they'd say, boy, if I could just have a boat right now. If I just had a bigger house, you know. If I just had more money. If I had that new Apple Watch, you know, That would be awesome. No, I think what they would talk about is their relationship with God. I think maybe they might talk about their relationship with their spouse or with their kids. Or they might talk about, you know, I hope at least in this last week I can still make a difference. Because there's been too many years when I didn't make a difference. I want to show God's love. You know, it's those kinds of things. It's I want my loved ones to know Jesus somehow. I would love for that to happen. You know, not on anyone's list would be a new leather sofa or new countertops or 75 or 85, or I think I saw the other day there's like a 100-inch widescreen TV. The most meaningful things in life are not things. They're really not. And so what we have to do is help ourselves think about that. I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, a perfect example of this is when we go on a family vacation. And we'll go on this family vacation. We'll stay at this place, and we stay there most of the time. And so it's just a little, you know, studio kind of small thing. It's got a little refrigerator, one of those minis, you know, and a little microwave. And we'll stay in there, the three of us. And our daughter, the thing she remembers most and is most meaningful about vacations that we spent a bunch of money on is there's a little balcony outside the room, and we'll sit out there and have this smoked sausage and cheese and crackers and pink lemonade. And it's like, okay, but we did all this, you know, and everything. And she talks about, yeah, I just love it when we've been out on the balcony talking and eating smoked sausage and cheese and crackers. Because that's a memory. See, it's not about the money. It's the memory that's huge. And I was thinking about with Rochelle, you know, it's not, oh, I remember when I spent buku money on your jewelry. You know, that was such a moment. No, for me, it would be walks that we've had together. You know, it would be times in the car traveling when we're just talking. And then we're just in the car. And I was thinking even about coming to this church when we left where we were and we felt the call to come to Avon, Indiana, and we knew that was going to be a cost. It was going to be at least a 30% or more reduction in pay to come. And that line, again, is real short to sign up for that. So there wasn't anybody in front of us. And so... But we knew God wanted us to come and to be here. So we just thought, the money part, he's going to have to figure it out. And we may have to do some things that aren't comfortable, you know, but we've got to follow him. Am I making sense today? And then when I look back in April, it'll be 25 years since we started the church in the movie theater, and I think of all the people that have been impacted, reached. I think of people in the ministry today that weren't in the ministry. I think about kids that have been brought up in this church that are not, the zeros are 25 now. Come on, somebody. Thankfully, I haven't changed, right? But things have changed. And God has done so many incredible things. But it came with sacrifice. It came with, you know, it wasn't the big splash. It was just the simple, everyday, just following after God. So let's come back to our phrase that we need to say, I have enough. I have enough. But again, you don't believe it. We don't believe it. So I want to add something to the front end of that. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Does that help you? Because I have Jesus, I have enough. But there might be somebody here today that says, hey, Craig, I got Jesus, but I got bills. I got stuff. I've got bills I can't pay. I don't have a job. I lost it last week or whatever. Forget, I don't need a new TV. I need to eat. I got thousands of dollars worth of medical bills. And I want to acknowledge that you could be here today and me just saying, hey, you got Jesus, so it's all okay. And you're like, well, I want to believe that, but I've got all this. Let me help you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says it like this. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. How many can identify with Paul? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here it is. I can do all this through him, Christ, who gives me strength. That's how I do it. Well fed, I have Jesus. Hungry, I have Jesus. Plenty, I have Jesus. In want, I still have Jesus. And because I have Jesus, I have enough. But again, there's some of us that say, well, that sounds good. I want to believe that. I want to put that in practice in 2025 in my life and all. But I still need that. I still want that. I still want more. And so, Derek, maybe you come up here and help me. I didn't tell him I was going to use him today, but give him a hand because he's coming up anyway. So. All right. So, Derek, you get to help me with this illustration. And you get to be Jesus, okay? See, normally I'd want to be Jesus, okay? But to do this illustration, you get to be Jesus. So, Derek is Jesus. Now, you just stand there. And so I got Jesus in my life. Jesus is in my life. Jesus is part of my life. I'm in church today. I've got a Bible reading program. I'm 3 days behind. But, hey, I do my best. I'm trying, you know. I'm generous. I try to be generous to church. And, you know, I gave this week online, different things, you know. But here's the problem. Jesus is in the background. So then what happens is during my week, I just see bills, I see the news, I see people, I see problems, I see all of these things. But Jesus is there, but I'm not aware of Jesus. But come over here. Now, what happens if Jesus gets in the front? If Jesus is in front, then when I'm looking at my bills, when I'm looking at my pressures, when I'm looking at my problems, when I'm looking at my difficulties, I'm looking at them through Jesus. Does that make sense? See, and here's the thing. Jesus is not leading when he's in the back seat. Okay? He's not leading my life. I don't need him to be my co-pilot. I need him to be my pilot. Come on, somebody. I need him to, Jesus, take the wheel, right? You know, I need you to lead, guide, and direct my life. Does that make sense? All right, give Derek a hand. Thanks, buddy. So when he's in the forefront, then I see my pressures and I think, hold on. Look, there's my confidant that I can talk to about this. There's my counselor that I can talk to about this. There's my comforter that I can go to. So see, truly today, what I need is not more things. I need more Jesus in my life. And in other words, ask yourself this question. Am I chasing after the abundant life or the abundance of things in my life? You know, because when you're in a car accident, you're not going to say, boy, if somebody could just bring me a pile of cash right now. You know, when you're wheeled into the operating room, you're not going to be thinking, well, if I just could get some more followers. You know, when you're getting ready to send your kids out into the world, yes, it's important that they have shoes on their feet, but what's more important is that they have Jesus in their heart when you send them out. And when your life comes to your final days, it's not going to be, I wish we'd have taken that destination thing. I wish we'd have gone to that place. No, you're headed to eternity. You're headed to a place where Jesus said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. That's why Paul says, I've learned. I've been in plenty and want. I've had lot and then I've had little. And I've learned the secret. I can do it all. Up and down. Stock market up, stock market down. I can do it all through Christ who gives me strength. Because when I'm sick, he's my healer. When I'm hurting, he's my comforter. When I'm sad, he's my joy. And when I sin, he's my savior. So less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Why? Because life is too valuable. Your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. Your God is too good to waste your life on things that do not last. Let's unclog our hearts. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask today that you would just again, do what you've been doing through this series. Just look at our hearts. X-ray our hearts today spiritually. Scan them, God. See if there's anything in us that is a blockage. That maybe you're wanting to hand us something, but we don't have a hand to receive it. Because we're clutching too tightly to what we already have. And so God, today, free your people. Free us, Lord, so that we know that you are in the front seat. You're not behind us. You're leading the way. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I need God to lead the way this year. I need Jesus in the driver's seat. I need to have confidence this year. And so what I need to do in response to this message, I need to declutter. I need to get rid of some things. And honestly, that may be some relationships in your life that are taking you down, that are pulling you down. It could be things in your life that maybe you touch your phone too much and you don't pray enough and you're not talking to Jesus. You're talking more on social media or other things or whatever that looks like for you. But you're here today and you say, Craig, I want God to be able to use my life in 2025. I don't want to miss anything that he wants to hand to me this year and bless me with because I'm so caught up in what I already have. If that's your prayer today, would you just raise your hand all over this room? Yeah, yeah, come on. We all get this way. Father, help us today because it's just so easy in our culture to do what the enemy wants us to do, and that's get focused on the one thing we don't have. And so, God, today, we ask that you just help us to be like Paul, that it doesn't matter what we have or don't have. We're just going to learn this year to be content because we have Jesus. And Lord, we believe if we would have more of you, more of you, more of you, we'd have more of the things that money can't buy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all kinds of fruits of the Holy Spirit would just spring up in our lives in this year. And so God, we want that. We want that in our homes and our families. We want that in the workplace. We want it everywhere we go. And so God, today, just help us to declutter, to declog our hearts so that we can be a conduit for you. While we're still praying, there could be others of you that the reason you don't have joy, the reason why you don't have peace and contentment is because your life is like we illustrated a while ago. Jesus is somewhere there, but it's like he's in the back. Yeah, I mean, you came to church today, and that's awesome and all, but it's not enough to have Jesus in the back seat. Jesus wants to drive. He wants to lead our lives. And the thing about it is it's not so he can confine us. It's so he can free us. So he can lead us into the places where we wouldn't be able to go on our own, in our own strength and our own power. And today, it's just as simple as inviting him to take the wheel, just to take your life, just to come in and begin to lead your life. And if you're here today and you say, Greg, honestly, God's not leading my life, but I want him to. I need him to. If that's your prayer today, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Just say, yeah, yeah, I'm starting out this year with Jesus, with him leading my life, with him in charge. And online, if you're making that decision, just put the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you today as well. As a matter of fact, I want everybody to pray this prayer so that those around you who maybe raised a hand will have the confidence to pray it out loud. Just pray this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for every sin, past, present, future. So today I make a decision to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From this point forward, as much as I know how, I want you to lead my life. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me today as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer, made that awesome choice and decision today. We believe if you prayed that prayer, Jesus came into your life and he's going to begin a transformational work that's going to be awesome, and we want to be a part of it. And so there's next steps that you can take. They're going to put those on the screen. You can just, from wherever you are, you can just text those of whatever you need to do. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe you need to be in a small group. You need to change friends. You need to say, you know what, that group I've been hanging around, I don't need to hang around them anymore. I need to get with a different group. And I'm not going to thrive if I keep doing that. So whatever it is for you, we want to help you with that today. And if you're here in person, you can take a next step also by just going across the hall to our Next Steps room. And one of our elders of our church will be there to meet you, greet you, and answer any questions you might have you with taking a next step. Also, on the back side of your connection card, you can mark a box that says, I made a commitment to Jesus today, or I renewed my commitment to Jesus today. And every week, somebody is checking those boxes. Come on, somebody get excited with me. Sometimes it's 4 to 9 people that are checking that box about renewing their commitment or making their commitment to Jesus. God is transforming, changing lives here at Crossroads Church. I'm so excited. I couldn't be more excited about 2025 unless it was 60 degrees today. Come on, somebody. Right? Yeah. All right. Come on, stand to your feet. Our prayer partners are going to come. Stand here across the front. If you need prayer for any reason, these folks would love to pray with you and pray for you before you leave today. Let me pray a blessing on you. Father, we thank you that you help our hearts so that they can be what you want them to be. And so, God, just continue to grow us in this way in 2025. Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to the front to receive the prayer they need. And we pray that you'll do miracles in this house yet before we leave. And God, we thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.